This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Well, we continue today in our Stories of Hope series. How many of you have been encouraged, challenged, maybe got a measure of hope some point along in the series? Okay, for those that don't have a hand up, I'm glad you're here today. Today's your shot, okay? If things don't go well today, good news, Pastor Mario's speaking next week, and then I'm gonna back clean up on the series the last week of May, and then in June we launch a brand new series called Identity Theft, and I'm super excited for that. But today, we're gonna be in Mark chapter 2. Let me set the stage for you a little bit. So remember, for those that were here last week, Jesus and his team were in southern Israel in Judea to get to northern Israel, where we're at today, Capernaum, right along the edge of the Sea of Galilee. They had to cut through Samaria. So today, they're in what Jesus called his hometown. Not his birth city, but it's where it was his hub for doing ministry in the northern part of Israel. And so it's the city of Capernaum. It's actually where Peter's family was from, and they kind of made that a home base. And what was happening there that day is what every pastor prays for every week. There were too many people that showed up. Now, I'm for that, and we're praying for that, and we'll just add gatherings, right? And we'll plant churches and stuff. But in this setting on that day, Jesus had done three things up to this point in his ministry, three main things. He had taught, and when he taught, the scripture says in Matthew 7, verse 29, he spoke as one who had authority, not just like the teachers of the law. So when Jesus spoke, there was something significant. There was substance to it. He taught, he cast out demons, and he healed people. So when someone gets healed, the word spreads, and other people are like, I could use a healing. So that's where we pick it up today in Mark chapter 2. It says this, verse 2, so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by the four of them. So you get the imagery. There's a guy who's unable to get to Jesus. We don't know if he said, hey, guys, can you bring me to Jesus? Or if a buddy's like, hey, we know a guy who might be able to help you. We don't know. The story doesn't tell us. What we do know is these guys grabbed the four corners of the guy's mat that he's living on. And by the way, this was like his office because he was a beggar. This was his place of work. So they rolled him up like a human burrito, put him over the shoulder, and they are on their way to Jesus. And they get to the house, and by the way, how many of you have ever tried to, moms, extract a sleeping child from a car seat? That's difficult. Imagine a full-grown man. So our youngest son, Josiah, is here, and we stopped taking Sai out of his car seat at like 6, because I'm Norwegian, my wife's Simone, and he was too big. Full mustache at 6, okay? So, love you, buddy. So, but imagine carrying. So this is a kingdom principle. And by the way, I'm gonna keep coming back to this. We're gonna keep coming back to it. And here's the principle. Heavy things get lighter when we lift together. Heavy things get lighter. Come on, how many of you ever tried to fold 6 loads of laundry? Because you let them stack up on purpose. It's just helpful when you have people who are in your corner assisting, right? So Jesus is there. He's teaching. The guys show up. And by the way, the guy who couldn't get to Jesus was desperate, but he couldn't do anything about his condition. And I want to encourage and maybe take the pressure off some of us today that sometimes we think dependence is weakness, but dependence is wisdom at times. And recognizing I don't have everything I have need all the time to accomplish what I want to accomplish, to get to where I want to get to. It's the power of partnership. We are better together. And sometimes we're like, well, I feel like I'm weak. Now, if you're always relying on people and you're not carrying your weight or even trying, that's a problem. But I want to just diffuse that I don't need anybody. I've heard people say, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I'm like, I don't need to hang out with my wife to be married, but it's sure better. Right? I mean, there's things that happen. There's friendship, and there's you do life together. So heavy things get lighter when we live together. Now, what I love about these guys, they're carrying him. They get to the house. Like, it's a one-story building, okay? There were stairs along the side of the house. And the roof was typically made of like a clay or a mud that had been hardened, branches, and so it would repel the water, right? It wasn't even unusual for the roof to be a place where they would go in the evening, in the cool of the evening, so it's another space, okay? So that's the context. They show up at this guy's house where Jesus is teaching, and at least one of the guys carrying him probably said, bro, sorry, today's not your day. There's just, we want to get you to Jesus, but we can't. And aren't you grateful that the majority said, no, we're going to figure this out. We're going to bring a whatever it takes mentality because you have to have this encounter with Jesus. And I wrote this in my notes because they were willing to look foolish because how many know carrying a guy in his mat on the side of the house, that looks odd. Right? I mean, they're like, excuse me, I'm pardon. They're like, no, you can't get in. I know, we're going to the side stairs. They're like, what? And they get him up onto the roof. Now, I wrote this because this is one of my prayers. I'd rather look foolish chasing faith than look wise choosing fear. And here's sometimes my tendency is like, I want to do something. I want to be aggressive. And I don't mean aggressive in a bad way, but like following God all in. But sometimes I'm like, well, what will people think? And what if we embraced, I'd rather look foolish choosing faith? What if that was our lens than look wise choosing fear? I'm just going to keep saying yes to what God invites me to. Here's why. Jesus is not our last hope. He's our only hope. And these guys are bringing their friend to Jesus, recognizing no one else can help him, but Jesus can. And I love that tenacity, that stick-to-itiveness. How many of you ever run a marathon? Come on, marathoners in here. Half marathons, 5Ks. How many of you went briskly to the fridge recently? Okay? Larger group. A lot of us are in that. Okay? I'm in the group category of the fridge. Okay? But here's the deal. You gotta be a finisher at times, and you got to go hard, and you have to recognize, here's on the screen, obstacles are also opportunities. Now, how many would like, I'd love more obstacles? They're like, no, I want less obstacles. But these guys got to the house. Here's an obstacle. It's already packed. They're in, the overflow had overflowed. But they recognize there's an opportunity. So they make their way along the side of the roof. They carry him up there. And I want to encourage us as a Gateway family, when we think about the tenacity that's required to bring the gospel across the street and around the world. I believe this, that if we lack depth and determination, we will quit something that's difficult at the first explainable opportunity. I need depth and I need determination. So I'm full of depth. Yeah, but you don't finish stuff. The reason the gym is full in January is because people have an idea, I'm gonna get fit. The problem is you actually have to do something. I remember I told a buddy one time that there was this fitness thing, and this was in high school, and actually it was like my freshman year summer from attending college, and we were working a construction company, and the guy I was working with, to say he was thin would be an understatement, okay? So not muscle bound, the opposite of that, okay? And so he's like, you know what? I'm gonna get buff this summer. I'm like, ah, awesome, I love it. So he says, I got a personal trainer. So this is on a Monday. Tuesday, we get to work. I said, how did it go? He said, the trainer had me do legs. I said, how did that go? He said, not well. He said, I did everything. My legs were shaking. I got to my car, couldn't push the clutch in. And here's the question. I said, are you going back? He said, no shot. Do you think he got buffed that summer? No, zero shot, okay? There is some pain, but you got to push through it sometimes. And aren't you grateful that someone fought for you in your faith? Someone fought for you in your marriage? Someone fought for you when you're messed up and confused? And we want to be that kind of place here. Or people who are investigating faith, they think they're too far past the grace and the love and the mercy of God. But the good news in the gospel is nobody is. What we have to have is a corporately depth and determination, because we will face some obstacles. Now, they're on the roof, and how many of you know, even there, busting a hole in the roof is audacious. So imagine you're in there, Jesus is teaching, all eyes are on him, and all of a sudden like some dust starts to fall. You're like, that's not a big deal. And then like a chunk of something drops, and then a twig. And if I'm Jesus, I'm like, this is gonna be so good. Because he knows what they don't know. And so he's like, this is gonna be awesome, right? And finally, like, busts a hole in the roof. The guy's lowered down. That's dramatic. You know, partway down, they like stop, and he's like, Carl, Judah, how are you, right? And they finally get him down, and now all eyes are on this guy. They're like, they're looking at Jesus, now they're looking at the guy, and now they're back to Jesus, and they're like, what is Jesus gonna say? And it's the same question we asked the last 2 weeks. What's Jesus gonna say to this woman at the well last week? Multiple marriages, her life seems like it's tumultuous and broken and irrevocable, and God's like, I treat you with kindness. What about the woman with the issue of blood? He says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. So how does Jesus respond to the guy who's lower down, by the way, disrupting the flow of service? Pastors, if we're more committed to the flow of our service than an act of God, we need to change our plans, right? We all agree with that until something goes the way we don't like. And I'm glad you're seated. Like me even being on the team is massive change for so many people. I know. And I'm trying to be really slow with everything we want to do. But here's the thing. It might feel at some point along the road in the next few weeks or months like we're tearing a hole in the roof. And here, I want you to know this. Anything we do is to try to create an environment where people can have an encounter with Jesus. It's not change for change's sake. There's no purpose. But it's to continue to take the baton from Pastor Tom and Pastor Mark and Pastor Allen, Carrie, and running a link with Mario and our team, and just saying we want people across the greater peninsula to find hope in Christ. That's why. That's it right there. So they lower him down. By the way, I love that Jesus always invites outcasts close to him. Because it like the religious people are like, they should look different. And Jesus is like, I'm dealing with their heart, not their hair. Right? What does he say? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Let's be honest. If I'm him, the paralytic, I'm like, that's awesome, but I still can't walk. But here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus always addresses our most important need, not our most obvious. And what we get focused in, what I get focused on sometimes, is that obvious need, but Jesus wants to deal with the most important, which is always what? Heart. It's this transformation of the mind. And in this moment, Jesus extends to this guy kindness, mercy, and tenderness. Now, here's the problem. It bothered the religious people. In fact, Jesus overhears them thinking and talking. And he responds to them saying, why does this fellow talk like that? This is the religious people. He's blaspheming, which means speaking on behalf of or against God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And remember, sometimes we miss God because he doesn't show up the way we thought he should. I told someone in the lobby between gatherings, they said, hey, thanks for teaching today. You know, they shared something they enjoyed. I said, God's working in me as I'm preparing. So here's one of the things I wrote as I'm studying for this. We sometimes miss God's plan because it arrives in a different package than we expected. Well, but I thought you were gonna do this, Lord. What about Jesus coming to earth? Why were the shepherds the first to celebrate him? Because the religious people, the people who should have been watching, weren't, because they thought he was gonna show up in some other capacity. And Jesus addresses this question, who can forgive sins but God alone, by saying this. He says, why are you thinking these things? Is it easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, get up, take your mat, and walk, but that you might know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins? He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. The tension in this moment, because what's going to happen now? And here's what happens. By the way, we don't know how long this guy had been paralyzed. This might have been the guy that they saw every day on their way to work. Maybe they flipped him a coin. Maybe they were gracious to him in some way. But they knew him as someone who was paralyzed. I want you to hear this. Some of us, we think we're most marked by the brokenness of our life. That's not the most important part of any of our story. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the person of Jesus that's working on and in and through us. And here's how the guy, Jesus says, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. Wow. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, and by the way, this is what we're going for around here. We have never seen anything like this. This guy's life was never, I wonder what his dinner conversation table, you know, at the dinner table conversations were like 6 months from then. I wonder what his kids and his grandkids, they're like, Grandpa, tell that story. Tell that story when your buddies brought you to Jesus and you were healed. Tell that story. By the way, that's a testimony, and it's simply declaring, look what God did in my life. But think about the generations that were transformed. How about everyone else who's watching? Like, whoa, maybe there's nothing impossible for God. I noticed on my right and your left, we have this thermometer, and I celebrate. That thing keeps rising. Do you know what that's for? It's because the Wolof people, which are one of the unreached people groups in our world, are hearing the gospel. They're having the Bible translated into their language. Why do we give to missions? So paralyzed people spiritually can find hope and healing in Christ. Why do we plant churches? Why do we give across the street and around the world? So that people who are paralyzed spiritually can experience the healing of Jesus. And we do that not just here, we do that outside of these walls. Got a couple questions for us. A couple things to wrestle through. First of all, I recognize that some of us come into this room, or you're watching this online, and you look like everything's fine. So you're not physically dealing with something, but spiritually you are. And you might not have used this exact language, but you would say, I'm paralyzed spiritually. I'm paralyzed by my sin. I'm paralyzed by my choices. I'm paralyzed by regret. And I think my life is most marked by brokenness rather than the goodness of God. Maybe, though, we're in a whole other category, and that's, you'd say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I feel like I should be farther along than I am right now. And like there's just one part of my life that I just can't seem to break free from. Like, if you've ever felt like you should be further along than you are, you're just not alone. What does Jesus do? The same way he spoke tenderly to the woman and the little girl and to this guy, he says to us, let me bring transformation to your life. Let me walk with you. Let me care for you. And by the way, the most powerful evidence that God's working in our lives is what I would say are the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's what our unbelieving world is hoping to find in us. And when they get glimpses of it, they get glimpses of the goodness of God. We've said this many times. People will often see the gospel before they hear the gospel. And we are the carriers of that. But if you feel paralyzed today, you feel like, man, I've brought this to the Lord so many times. Bring it again. Let me speak to those of us that would say, I want to be one of those buddies, those friends that grabs the corner of the mat and brings my friends to Jesus. Remember, heavy things get lighter when we live together. It's this reminder. This is one of those, and we'll do a series on it later, but it's a pop moment in Scripture. It's a power of promise. It's a power of prayer. In this one, it's a power of partnership, that we're better together than we are on our own. And listen, everyone across every gathering, across all the online, you have a part to play in the kingdom of God. And I love that there's dozens of ways you can serve at church, but I would propose, more importantly, there's ways you serve as the church. You coach Little League, You help out, like Karen Trostedt helps right now with this Little Mermaid thing that's happening up at the community amphitheater, I can't remember what it's called, place. That. She is loving and living the gospel with everyone she's interacting with. It's not at church stuff only. Now, if we never have stuff at church, something's missing. But it's not at church as much as the church. We gather so we can scatter. So there's a part you play. And you're like, well, I'm shy. Then God will probably connect you to shy people. I don't know what your gifts are, but we want to help mine those and give you an opportunity, this beautiful outlet. Here's the last thing I want you to consider. And it's actually, I'm going to go to our next steps if you want to put that up for us. Here's just some, every week we want to ask, how do I live this out? How do I make, it's more than a guy or gal teaching for a little bit. Like, how does this change me tomorrow at work? So here's a couple things for you to consider. First one is, as I already alluded to this, but you might feel paralyzed. And you say, I'm inviting the Lord to speak healing over my life. You say, I want to be used by God, number two. I want to be that person who says, whatever it takes for my friends or family. By the way, it's usually a journey, not one moment. With God's help, I'll help someone take their next steps. And I love what Pastor Tom, Mario, and our team set in motion years ago, that Gateway exists to help people take their next step toward Christ. And you know, I want you to hear this. We all have a next step. All of us do. And the most important of any next step is that first one. And so this last next step to consider is, maybe you'd say, today I want to surrender my life to Christ. And I'm going to pray for us in a moment. I'll pray a blessing. But if you want to surrender your life to Christ today, I love what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. By the way, if you're like opt out today, tomorrow can be the day of salvation. Every day is this ability to engage and experience the goodness of God. So would you, across this room, join me in bowing my heads as we go to the Lord? Lord, I pray for those today that feel paralyzed. Whether they'd use those exact words or not, there's something they're carrying, there's something that's heavy. And God, right now I invite you, come on, Gateway, just to surrender that to God. Just say, God, here it is again. And maybe it feels like I keep bringing this back, but every time you come to God, he cares and he's there. He knows what paralyzes us. He knows your susceptibility. He knows our propensity towards whatever sin or patterns. And so we just say, God, meet us in that. Maybe you're in that group that would say, I want to be used by God. I want to be one of those friends that grabs the corner of their mat. I don't have to do everything, but I want to do something to bring my friends to Jesus, or to bring Jesus to my friends. Come on, that's a next step worth giving ourselves to. And this final is those that would say, I don't know Jesus, but I want to become a follower of Jesus. And every week, in every gathering, we're extending an invitation for people to respond to the good news of the gospel. So if you want to become a follower of Jesus today, by the way, this is your first step, not the last. It's that beginning. You can pray something like this. Jesus, you know I need healing, and I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. Thank you for your love. Thank you for paying the price with your life. And today, I choose to follow you. God, your love for me is hard to even fathom. But today, I begin that relationship with you. And I ask that you be glorified, which means greatness, your greatness would be evident. So Lord, today I choose you because you first chose me. In Jesus' name I pray. And finally, Lord, I pray for every mom in this room. Thank you for the gift of our moms. God, thank you for the way they care, direct and correct. God, thank you for the lives of faith. God, just what they bring to our community, what they bring to this church. And we pray a blessing on them today. Lord, we ask that you'd use us. And as we take a moment just to reflect and respond, that our lives would be more than a song, but they would be worship to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're able, would you stand as the team leads us?
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm.
But all my life,
that all my life testify, hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul.
So healing, mercy is known. And this is our hope. The cross, it is spoken. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord.
What a friend, what a savior.